things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to the bi-playoff edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And it's so weird when, I mean, you're excited about getting the playoff bye, but then just you got to wait. You got to wait.
I saw people saying that on the, it was either our Facebook group, Bleeding Green and Gold. Go check it out. Join the discussion. Or a different one I'm on. But they were talking about how it's so hard, you know, you get all pumped for being the one seed and then you just have to watch other teams play. And I don't know. I don't feel that way. I get a little, you know, bored in the regular season when we have our bye week and you don't get to watch them. But when it's postseason and we get that bye, I bask in it. You know, I watch all these teams. I know all these like hundreds of thousands of fans on the edge of their couch, just stressing. Daniels, you know, sweating bullets again with the 49ers. And I'm just sitting back going, we'll be here next week. I am 100% okay with it.
I was looking forward to the games. You know, I know that's one thing with me. when the Packers are in the playoffs and if they have a bye, it makes me more excited to watch the other games. Yeah, but man, these were pretty lousy games. There was a lot of bad games for the well.
Yeah, there was a couple good ones. The regular season really ended out with some bangers. Just a lot of close.
Yeah, there was a really good finish.
So you know, you're in that mode, and then you see all these ads and commercials for Super Wild Card Weekend, the biggest wild card weekend yet. Come get your Peyton and Eli on Monday Night Football.
That's Sean's announcer voice, by the way.
That's my announcer voice. Ha! Touchdown.
Before we go any further, I just want to let you know we're recording here on Wednesday. Mike is back in the booth. Mike is healing well with his hip surgery. And Mike and his wife, Sean's mother, Marsha, both now have COVID. So I might sound a little off. So it's been an interesting couple of weeks, but that being said, but yeah. Back on the,
but you're hanging in there and you're sounding good. You're sounding good in the booth once again with your fancy microphone and everything.
Well, I gotta say, I was pleased with just recording off the microphone on my MacBook Air.
Remember when we first did it, I told you, I'm like, better than expected when you listen to the audio quality.
Yeah, yeah. And the nice thing about it, too, is, I mean, I know that some of it's just the ambience, you know, being in the living room and sound bouncing off the walls. But that tells you a little something about it. Microphone. It was pretty darn good just for a laptop. So,
yeah, not bad at all. So I'm thinking this is our bye week episode. Should we talk about whatever Packer thoughts and news we have, and then we'll do kind of a recap of what we watched?
Yeah, we can. There's not a ton to talk about.
I have a couple things.
Okay, couple things, guy.
All right. MVS not practicing today. He was also out yesterday. He hurt his back against the Lions. So we're waiting to see. Hopefully we get him. Because like you know, I'm always a big fan of having him as a speed option, take the top off the defense. Another wide receiver piece of news. Randall Cobb officially greenlit to play next Saturday, this coming Saturday, by Matt LaFleur. That's an exciting one. Have Cobb and Lazard on the field now to soak up that sweet, sweet open field when triple coverage is draped all over Adams.
It's going to be, well, and the other, speaking of injuries, I was happy to hear the such positive, glowing review on Bakhtiari. He had, what, 27 snaps? And in the the Detroit game, they said he looked really, really good. And so they're just kind of taking it easy with him this week. But that was great to hear mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw today, they are now saying he's going to be day-to-day to see if he can play on Saturday. He played well against the Lions. I think he only played one half, right?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he played well, but apparently he said he was exhausted, like way more exhausted than he should have been.
Okay.
So that's part of it. They're kind of monitoring that. So even if we do see him, if we don't get him for a full game, that's still better than no Bakhtiari at all. He is such a just solid piece of that line. That's something to keep an eye on day to day. My other big piece of news is Kingsley Keke.
What the heck?
No more Kingsley Keke.
No more Keke.
No more Keke.
No more Keke for you.
That's surprising. He has not been playing like poorly. He's not like, you know, Devondre Campbell or like, you know, Preston Smith, one of these big time names on our defense, but he's been pretty solid. He's, I don't know. He's playing better than like Oren Burks was playing. Ty Summers, which we released him, right? He didn't get injured for the year. I think we just released him. He was playing so bad. But he's been a solid option every game. He has some tackles, you know, not too many knocks against him. But they cut him and they are saving $2.4 million in cap space. I wonder if that's how Cobb got back on the roster.
Well, they shouldn't have been hit with the cap space. I mean, he was just injured. It was going to be the same no matter what.
With the roster spot, you mean?
Yeah.
But so the cap space, $2.4 million, and we have some guys we need to sign if we're trying to keep them. Right. So that might just be, it might just be a business decision.
Well, he started 8 games this year and he was inactive against Cleveland and then he was on the COVID thing. So, and he hasn't played since. So I don't know. It's a personal matter apparently from LaFleur.
Interesting. So
I don't know what that means.
Second
here. Mm-hmm. You keep talking.
All right. I'm going to keep talking. Our other big piece of information is that Aaron Rodgers' toe, I almost said COVID toe. I don't know why I called it the COVID toe. Aaron Rodgers' toe reportedly will be 100% for this coming game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's going to get it immunized with the shot like he has been, or he's going to play all out?
I've heard he's been dipping gauze in prune juice and then wrapping it around his pinky toe with duct tape, and that's what's helping the healing process.
What, prune juice?
Yes, prune juice.
Is that a holistic?
I don't know. It just, some of that stuff just gets so wacky.
I was gonna say, where did you just make that up from?
I did.
It's gonna be interesting. So do you think since this toe injury, he's burned down the house everywhere they play? You know, he was in like a 4-way discussion for MVP midway through the season. He fractures his toe in a mystery that we have yet to be let in on. And he's just solidified himself as most likely the MVP, had an amazing end to the season. Do you think if he goes out there, toes 100%, he just plays like crap? He, you know, missing guys, you know, not seeing the pressure in the pocket, getting sacked, throws a couple picks. Do you just amputate the toe after that? If that would just prove the toe's the problem.
Oh, there you go. I mean, I don't know if you could ask for a better endorsement for removing limbs and digits than Sean Reagan right there with the.
That's right. That's why you come to this show, for the hard hitting scientific sports news.
But you hear about, is that it for your info on the Packers?
Yeah. Quiet week for the Packers, obviously.
Yeah, they don't talk much. And it's a pretty typical quiet in Green Bay anyways, and trying to get any information out of there. But I did look at the forecast for the game. I know it's a bit off because it's a down the road a little bit. They typically 2 to 3 days is your best chance of getting a decent forecast, but they're calling for a high of 23, a low of 2, and chance of snow on Saturday. So,
okay. Sounds good.
Either way, it's going to be colder than it is in Frisco, but
it will.
You hear that 49er quarterback Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
His shoulder injury and still has the thumb injury. So,
well, we'll see. We'll see. He has those, and we have a healthy toe. Who's going to win?
I'm going to go with the toe.
You're going to go with the toe. Let's jump into these games.
All right.
I watched most of them. I think I watched at least some of all of them. How about you?
I saw a bit on the Raiders-Bengals game. I tuned out right away on the Bills game because you could tell what was going to happen there. I did watch a fair amount of the Eagles-Buccaneers game, but again, by late in the second quarter, that's not going to happen. But I guess my biggest game that I watched was the 49ers-Cowboys game.
Okay. Well, let's start at the top then. Raiders-Bengals. Bengals get their first playoff win in, what was it, 18 years?
31 years, I think.
Oh, it would have been 18 for the Raiders, 31 for the Bengals. Oh, my God. That's probably like the – they're not the oldest team, so that's probably the majority of their fan base has never seen a playoff win.
Right, right.
Oh, man. Yeah. That
spoiled
is something.
Spoiled boy you are.
Yeah, I told you in last week's podcast I was pretty confident that the Bengals would win this one.
Yeah, they're a good team.
They are. I thought it would be a close game, but yeah, I just think I like the Bengals to. I think it's Bengals Bills, you know, on the AFC side, and I do think the Bengals have a chance of taking that, and we'll see them in the Super Bowl. I just think they have the right pieces for playoff football.
Their next game is the Bengals will be taking on the Titans. So would not be an easy game, especially if Henry's back.
Not an easy game.
But, yeah, the Bengals just, I mean, they've got some really, really good young talent. They've got a really good quarterback. I think he's going to continue to get better.
Yep.
Joe Burrow. He doesn't look like he wilts under pressure.
Joe Mixon is a poor man's Derrick Henry. Maybe not a poor man's. I shouldn't say that. Joe Mixon's pretty good.
He's very,
you know, he's just a downgraded Derrick Henry. I'll say that. Okay. Jamar Chase, up and coming wide receiver stud that can't be covered. Joe Burrow's willing to sling it wherever. Did you see Joe Burrow after the game? Said, you know, this whole city and state keeps freaking out about the win, and everyone's coming up to me all these high emotions saying, what do I think? And I keep trying to downplay it and explain to people that this isn't a big deal, guys. This is how it's going to be from now on. This is now the minimum standard. Mm-hmm. I was can you imagine being a Bengals fan after decades of pain and hearing your quarterback say that after winning their first playoff game?
I can relate.
He just sold a million jerseys.
I can relate.
Yeah.
I can remember when I was just getting into football, you know, that 8-10 age when you start figuring out the game a little bit, and people would be, oh, Mike, you should have been here for Lombardi. It's like, well, I didn't have any play in the game. Okay. Nobody asked me, you want to be here with Lombardi or you want to be after Lombardi? But then it was just horrible, horrible, horrible years.
Yeah. You had no hope till Magic Don.
And then he gets hurt, and then the favor steps in.
The favor. Yeah. Yeah. What a time. And then
that happened at County Stadium, by the way.
Is it a 1991 we won the Super Bowl, right?
Their own team, if they didn't get some games down there.
Hey, repeat that real quick. You froze on my mind.
All right. So back in the day, Milwaukee and Lambeau used to split games because Milwaukee threatened to try and get a team because they said it's not fair that tiny little Lambeau Green Bay gets a professional team. And so they used to split the games, and Magic got hurt at County Stadium. And that's when Favre came in. But that's why they have the different tickets at Lambeau. For the people that home season tickets in Milwaukee and home seasons in Lambeau, there's a green and gold tickets, a package. So
that's interesting. Yeah, because I had a Miller sign or a Budweiser sign, I think it was. You know those old like beer signs you would see in bars, and they have your team schedule on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one from '93, the year I was born. For a long time, like I just found it in an antique store for a few bucks, had it hung up in like college and stuff like that.
It was cool.
Yeah. You would always see the Milwaukee games on there. You would see the twice a year playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they were in the NFC North with us.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. That's still weird to think about Tampa Bay being in the North. But yeah, those Milwaukee games I always thought were interesting to see on there. And I mean, you could say you not as many fans, nearly as many fans have gone to Packer games than Milwaukee, but very, very, very few Packer fans have gone to a Packer game at TCF Stadium in Minnesota.
I wish we had the video we could show. I'd hold up my picture of
your
you
picture.
And I
so
at that game
when they were for those who aren't aware, when the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings, we live in Minnesota here. Expats and when they were building their fancy new glass stadium, US Bank Stadium, they had a year in between Metrodome.
Bird killer.
Yeah, the Bird Killer Stadium. It's one big glass stadium that thousands of birds a week just slam into the side of, and they actually hire someone.
Especially,
they hire someone to clean up the birds on, you know, the sidewalk by the can you imagine that job?
Hey, I've had worse.
But so between
the reason why they had the different venue is because they were tearing down the old stadium and building in the same spot.
Oh, I forgot it was in the same spot. That's right. So they had a gap year. They played at TCF Stadium where the Minnesota Gophers play. And we got tickets at the 50-yard line, Packers, Vikings at TCF Bank, and it was a really fun time. It was a good game.
It was.
And it was a good game to be a Packer fan surrounded by Viking fans and just watching them go from so much hope to so much sadness.
That's always the best. And then walking out of the stadium, you're like, you're going through the hallways of the stadium to try and get out to your vehicle and stuff.
The hallways, by the way, the whole thing were nuts. The place was not built for NFL sized crowds.
It was just slammed with people. And all the Packer fans with their jerseys are like high fiving each other and screaming and yelling. And the Viking fans are
yeah. And they were just so quiet too. Like you'd have like big groups of Viking fans just walking to wherever they're going, and then all of a sudden you hear, hey, and you look over and it's someone with a bike or a Packer jersey on. They're like waving at you and they're like, hey, yeah.
Right. Yep. And they would get groups and they would go, go Pack, go.
Yeah, well, there's a decent number of Packer fans there. I think that's any game you go to. There's a decent number of Packer fans. We travel.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we don't travel. We only went once it was near us.
But the significance being that was the only time that the Vikings played outdoors since the old Met Stadium before the Dome. And it was against the Packers, went to the game. I'll admit that I do drink alcohol, but it was a cold game and I got one can of beer. And I think you were still drinking at the time. And I didn't finish it. I just kept kind of sipping on it. And I finally go, do you want this? And you're like, yeah, sure. Okay. I'll finish it. But it was just a fun. I love having this up.
It's never too cold for a brew. Yeah. Yeah. You always have that picture there. I see it when we do this.
All right. Next game on Saturday, the 15th, was the Patriots at the Bills.
So this one I watched three quarters of. You said you didn't watch a ton.
Not much at all.
Basically, what I want to talk about with this game is I think here, let me look. We picked, that's actually pull up the picks that we did last week. We picked the wild card week.
Okay. Well, I'll tell the score while Sean is picking.
Yeah.
That up.
Perfect.
The Bills played basically almost a perfect game, I guess. They won over the Patriots 47-17, and Bill Belichick after the game said, we just couldn't keep up with them. They're just better.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you watched it, a lot of times they would have two or three defenders in front of one of the Bills' ball carriers, and they would just run around them. And not even like, you know, juking a guy, spinning past one. It was just, I'm faster, and I'm just going to go whoop around you. And it was weird. It was like watching, like, if we were playing a college team, like, basically. Just the skill level difference was like, I think, you know, you got it, all respect in the world for Belichick as a coach and as a schemer and a play caller and as a defensive mind. But if you don't have guys that can run as fast as the other guys or, you know, out muscle the other guys, it's hard to win a game. And it was the first ever perfect game for an NFL offense. It's like throwing a perfect game in baseball, and it's never happened preseason, regular season, postseason, where on every drive of the game, the Bills scored a touchdown. They did not have any field goals. They did not have any punts. They scored a touchdown every chance they got. And when they were up by multiple touchdowns, they started throwing those touchdowns to linemen because why not? Let's get the linemen.
Oh, they must have missed some extra points then, huh?
Did they?
Because I see in the second quarter, they had 13 points. The third quarter, they had 6 points.
Mm. They might have gone for two. Sometimes when you're up by a bunch, the stats say go for two, and you just do it because that's what the stats say.
Let me take a look, see if I can get the team stats.
Yeah, pull that up.
Well, anyway, I was going to say, as far as the Patriots go, I think they've got a real upside coming up. Mac Jones, rookie quarterback, he's a stud. He's going to do great. Especially under the tutelage of Belichick and the rest of the clan. But did you ever read that article I sent you about padding from the Belichick way?
Very slightly. I started it, but I was at work and then I closed it.
Okay. Well, it must have interested you.
I saved it. I didn't delete it. It's there for later.
It's just talking like about what he likes to, he brings in these assistant coaches and, you know, like if you're like the, lowest of the low, and then one of the things you have to do is just like scheme every single play, and it's very detailed, and you need to use a ruler and scissors and sticky notes and tape and every within inches where they line up, and just and so that they can break it down, they hand that off, and then it goes up the chain of command. It was a pretty interesting article, but it's pretty detailed. These guys talk about literally working 20-hour days, and you love it. And when your next time you have to review a team, if they're a team that runs a lot, because they don't have that many plays. But if you have a team that's very pass happy, they can have almost 1.5 just the amount of plays, and you know you're done.
Yeah, and now you try doing it against like a LaFleur offense. I bet that's right. A bit of a headache. Someone keeps ringing the doorbell to our apartment.
I wonder who.
Not expecting anyone, so I hope someone else lets them in. let's move on.
Okay.
If that works for you, let's look at some Eagles Buccaneers. This is the game I watched the least. I might have watched the first quarter only. I just didn't have any hope, really, for the Eagles to win this. The only way I would have been interested in like spending 3 hours watching this game is if it looked like the Eagles might pull it out, and then we would have to play the Eagles the following round.
Yeah, that
but
was
once it was apparent that's not the case, I wasn't too interested.
Well, it's to me, I started watching it, and you could tell right away the Eagles aren't going to win this game. I mean, they were playing slower, they were less efficient. I mean, just basic stuff they needed to do to have a chance. Yeah. They couldn't do, and Brady
was
all over.
It was similar to watching the Patriots kind of just not be able to keep up with the Bills. But any more on that game? Or should we breeze past?
Not really. I don't really have too much. All right,
Tom Brady did Tom Brady things, and we'll go on from there. 49ers Cowboys was I was going to say barn burner, but it wasn't a barn burner. It was 23-17 49ers, but it was a real ballywhack. You know what I mean? I'm going to pull out my old Maritimer terms because we're in the Bay. Or no, shoot, we were in Dallas, Arlington. All right, well, this is really falling apart. But the 11-7 Niners, who have been dominant in the final part of the season to make the playoffs, went into Arlington, took on America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, 23-17, and they are moving on to play the storied, historic, dominant Green Bay Packers.
So now that Sean stopped talking, I can jump in. it was a weird
stressful
game.
Day at work.
Early in the game, the 49ers had a play where they needed to wait for the referee to place the ball, and he was holding the offense from running a play. He's standing at the line of scrimmage with his hands up, holding them up, and they run out of time. And so that's just a strange freaking play, because Dallas was in stance. They were ready to go. But for some reason, the ref just kept stalling. Well, then at the end of the game, the same thing happens to the Cowboys, where they had, I don't know what it was, like 12 seconds left or something. And they do a quarterback
draw with 12 seconds left was an odd decision.
And then so he slides, he gets up, he hands the ball to his center so they can run the next play. He's like, no, you can't do that. That's not the ref needs to put the ball where the ball's supposed to be. And so the Dallas players are all in his way. He's trying to get through them. Same thing. But this time around, he actually quickly moved the ball and jumped back. But then they ran out of time. And then, of course, the Cowboy fans think it's the ref's fault they didn't win, because they would have had a first down and they would have obviously thrown a bomb to the end zone and scored a touchdown to win with the extra point.
Yeah. Well, you can't hand it to the center. You can't give the ball to your own team and say, go figure out where this goes. So if you don't do that on any other play, you probably shouldn't do it on the last one.
And the thing is, Prescott came out and said, we've been practicing this. Well, you've been practicing it wrong.
If you've been practicing
it,
ref. There's no refs in practice. So you just give it to the center.
Yeah, so we just decided they were going to start doing this. Every other play, we give it to the ref.
Oh, man, it was nuts. But also, just outside of that, like the choice to do the QB draw with minimal seconds left to get, you know, they're already in Hail Mary range. They did a good job to get in Hail Mary range. And then they do a QB draw to get it, what would you say, like 18, 20-ish yards around there?
Yeah.
And they get it to just outside the red zone, just outside the 20. And then that's where the whole debacle happens. They run out of time. I say you take two shots at the end zone instead of doing the QB draw. Like, I get that now you're 20 yards away, you have a shot, but maybe two bigger shots is better, you know, and you have less room for error with the clock this way. But
well, you got to remember who the head coach is.
I was just going to say, this was so reminiscent of Mike McCarthy leading the pack. And it's like all these games that would come down to, it's like, I don't think we were the worst team here. And I don't even think like it was the calls that went against us. I think it was just bad decision-making by our head coach. And
I agree.
Game management. Like, I was really hoping it was just kind of something, you know, I wanted McCarthy to be really successful after the Packers, just because he brought us a Super Bowl. He always seemed like a good guy. But the game management thing, it's not like he has to be able to study it. It just must be in the moment, that kind of the stress of the moment.
We've talked about this before, and I said he needs to have somebody that is the guy or the gal that's going to be the one that says, you need to do this, you don't do this kind of thing. And then if he decides to do his own thing, maybe he does. Maybe he does have that. I don't know.
He should delegate. Like, you know, some head coaches call the defense or call the offensive plays. Some don't. They let their coordinators do that. I think McCarthy should let his coordinators do that and do game management. He needs a third coordinator to do game management for him, and then he can just kind of sit back and make sure everyone's playing nice, things like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's what we talked about before. Okay, next game would be the final Steelers, game on Sunday.
Yeah, Steelers at Chiefs. Not much of a game. Steelers.
No, I didn't expect it to be either.
Yeah, no one really did. Even Ben Roethlisberger leading up to it didn't seem like he expected much. But yeah, the Chiefs look good. Patrick Mahomes had some good plays. They got some offense going, but he also had some real stinkers. That's kind of been the story of Mahomes' year right now. But I haven't watched a ton of the Chiefs. But watching, like, I've heard about how they're playing, heard about Mahomes' struggles, but watching it, it's like certain plays where, like, Nick, he'll have one play, you know, he rolls to the left, hits a guy 30 yards down the field, perfect pass. All right, there's Mahomes. Then the next play, it's like he looks left, looks right, and then you got, like, a guy open in the center, and he grounds it 5 yards next to him, and it's like, not sure what's happening.
Well, I'm hoping that, just to back up to the 49er game, Garoppolo plays with that injured thumb, because, man, he had the same thing, but he was throwing high. He was throwing way over guys.
He was. He did start zipping some in. Go ahead.
Yeah. But that's Jimmy, though. He's one where he'll just kill you, because he's like, oh my God, he's on fire. Then all of a sudden, two horrible interceptions in a row and you lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think they showed him in the third quarter. I say the same thing
with Mahomes. I felt Mahomes all year. I've watched it more so than normal years with Kansas City, but he's been up and down this year. He hasn't been quite as stellar as in past years.
Yeah, I mean, he was MVP not too long ago. That wasn't last year, right? 2 years ago, he was MVP, I think. Cardinals, Rams, first ever Monday night wild card game. I watched the Peyton and Eli broadcast. I don't know. Have you seen any of those? ESPN2?
I haven't watched any of them.
This is my second time watching one. It's pretty laid back. They don't really seem to have any kind of script they're following. There's no earpiece in that someone's like feeding them stats. They're all just kind of, it's like they're there watching the game. And they keep bringing in like celebrity guests. Like they had The Rock, in there with them for, I think, the whole second quarter, stuff like that. So it was interesting. Very different way to watch a football game.
Yeah, they want it to be kind of like you're sitting around a bunch of guys at the bar.
Yeah. So I told Daniel, who's a huge 49ers fan, as we've mentioned, but I told him before this Monday night game, we were talking, like, oh, yeah, you know, it should be a good game and stuff. And I was like, but I just feel like the Rams are going to kind of stop the Cardinals on this one. And he was asking me why. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think you got Aaron Donald for one. You know, he's just kind of a game wrecker. They got a lot of guys on defense. But I think the offense will be clicking now. Sean McVay's, you know, he's going to scheme things. But Kyler Murray on the Cardinals, just all season, when I watched him, it's just he chokes, it feels like. In any big moment, he kind of chokes. And he did it a lot this game. I don't know if you saw his second interception where he's in the end zone, like backed up into his own end zone, and he's like getting pressured. So he underhand throws it up in the air and one of the defenders grabs it and walks it into the end zone.
Like, I did see that.
Stafford had a similarly... Stafford had a similar one a few weeks back that a lot of people made a big deal out of. So it's funny that while they're playing the Cardinals, Kyler Murray does basically the same thing, but ugly.
I don't know if you saw Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach for Arizona. And I don't know if you know this stat. I thought it was pretty interesting that his teams have tailed off in each of his 9 seasons as head coach, dating back to 2013, his first season with Texas Tech. So in his third season with the Cardinals, they are 15-5-1 in games 1 through 7. and 8-18 the rest of the season. At Texas Tech, they were 27-15 in games 1-7 and 8-25 thereafter. So overall, it's 42-20-1 in games 1-7 and 16-43 after. So it's a thing. It's just like McCarthy and his time management. This is a thing. You got to figure it out. And they're talking about getting rid of him because they've got the players. They should be doing much better. And boy, I tell you, as a fan, that's just, you know how that just demoralizes you. You don't know if you should get excited. It's like being a Viking fan. Should I get excited this year, or are they just going to break my heart again?
Hey, Justin. Always got to give them that shout out.
Yeah, we've got people. Thank you for listening. But our listeners in our podcast, they know Justin and they know Daniel. They know Marsha, your mom,
hey,
my wife.
Speaking of our listeners, really quick. So I think this is a good moment to do it. Where after the regular season, before our first playoff game, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Glenn Galloway, longtime listener of the podcast. And I just wanted to do it because I see his name pretty much right when we post these. I post the episode, put it up on Facebook, and then there's Glenn Galloway liking it. You know, he'll maybe make a little comment and stuff. And just want to say thank you for your support. And we're glad we can provide you something, you know, that's entertaining enough for you to go out your way and listen to a couple of weirdos.
Speak for yourself, weirdo. Yeah, okay. It's he is, and it's just fun, you know. I'm not gonna lie about it, but it would be nice to have a little more interaction on our Leading Green and Gold on Facebook, but the ones that we do have been wonderful, so thank you so much.
And part of it is our fault. we could post more, try to get stuff going, but you know, that's all right. But if you do want to join, especially now that we're getting to the end of the season, you know, this is a great time to hop on with the season ending and the postseason kind of craziness going on. But also, if you want, we are more than happy to put what you want on the show. If you want a comment, if you want to ask us a question, get our opinion, the Facebook page is the best way to do that. I think in our outro, it talks about our email address. That thing won't let me into it half the time. So reach out to us on Facebook. We might have to
probably fix that. Huh?
Yeah, we should edit that outro because I just tried signing into it again last week. And I'm like, man, it's been a while since this thing let me sign it.
I don't know, man, the guy that cut that intro, he's going to charge me an arm and a leg to have him redo it. So
I just got him a 3-day stay at a vacation rental. I don't think he's going to charge us.
Okay. All right. Did we mention the Rams over the Cardinals 34-11? Did we give the total?
I'm not sure if we gave the total, but yeah.
Okay.
34-11. So not really a close game there. But okay.
All right.
I think that's done with our recap, right?
Yeah. Let's mention our sponsor, please.
All right. We're going to talk today about our sponsor, MyBookie. Even though the fantasy football season's over, you can keep the excitement alive with MyBookie's double deposit bonus. Having your initial deposit matched up to $1,000 is like playing every game with home field advantage. All you have to do is sign up, use promo code GREENGOLD, that's green gold, and get your funds credited to your account instantly so you can start placing your bets with MyBookie. With the NFL postseason in full swing, there's no shortage of games to choose from at MyBookie, and everyone knows that playoffs equal points. It's the best time of the year to hammer overs. With each player out to make a name for themselves, you know player props are a great way to find an edge. MyBookie is also home to exclusive contests that can be used to maximize your winnings and make 2022 your best year yet. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 by using promo code GREENGOLD. I'm going to say it again. That is GREENGOLD. Place your bets and get ready for the intensity of playoff action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Green gold.
Green gold. Nothing in between. Green gold. So how did we do on our unofficial picks last week.
Oh yeah, I was gonna bring that up each game we talked about. So I got them all right. Moving on. Let's see. We both picked the Bengals and were correct. You took the Bills. I had faith in the other Bill, Belichick, and that did not work out. So you got the Bills over the Patriots. We both took the Bucks over the Eagles. I took the Niners. You took the Cowboys. So I got it there. We both took the Chiefs. I took the Rams. You took the Cardinals, which means I am up by one.
Yeah, but we're not keeping score.
I know, but in that week, I was up by one. I don't know. This is an audio medium, but I am putting the score sheet up to the camera for Mike to see that I may have lost the battle or lost the war, but I won this little battle.
There you go. Feeling better, I'm sure. All right, coming up, we got on Saturday, first game is going to be the Bengals at the Titans. I think this has got them fixings for a really, really good game.
I think it's going to be a fun one.
The running back for the Titans possibly could be back. He's got a plate in his foot. He injured his foot. He had to have surgery. Even if he comes back, I just can't fathom that he will be at the same level he was before.
When was that? Do you remember? When he
had surgery?
Yeah. How long
Don't
ago?
Don't know.
Okay. Me neither.
It's
not good
bit.
Enough Titan fans. Has it been a while? So he might be back. Who do you have winning this one? Do you want to know who I have?
No, I'll go first. I'll go with the Bengals.
All right, that's who I went with as well. I mean, okay. I think I've told you how high I am on the Bengals going into this postseason. They may have one of the worst records, but they got the best spirit. Yeah, do you have anything else to touch on that game, though? I don't really have a ton. We talked quite a bit about the Bengals. The Titans are just a solid team. You know, they play solid football. Derrick Henry, when he's in there, is such a game changer, because if you can't stop the run, that opens up so much in their passing game. But other than that, like, I don't have a ton to talk about. I think it's going to be really close. I think it might be some Joe Burrow magic to end this game.
Well, and also I read something today. What's his name? Tannenbaum, quarterback for
Tannehill.
Tannehill makes me think of Christmas. Tannenbaum. Tannehill, the coach for the Bengals, mm-hmm. has spent a lot of time with Tannehill in college and in pros. So they're saying that he might have some idiosyncrasies that he could play off of, but I think it's going to be a good game. But I just kind of playing the hot hand, and you know, not knowing the injury situation with the Titans, I go with the Bengals. Excuse me. And then later on Saturday, the biggest game of the week is going to be the 49ers in the frozen land of Green Bay.
Green Bay. Do you want to talk about that game now, or should we skip past Saturday night and we'll come back to it?
Okay. So then Sunday, first game at 2:00 Eastern is am I Eastern? No, I think I'm Central.
No, you're right. It's just those are kind of weird start times on Sunday. 2 p.m. and then 5:30.
Yeah, what 2 p.m. Strange... it's the Rams at the Bucks, which could be just one of those games where we'll play the winner of that game if we win against the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And to me, that Rams-Buccaneers game could be one of those. It's just a slugfest. And so
I hope
they have to come and play us
poop out of each other.
And they come in and they're just stiff. They can't move. They're hurting.
Yeah. Especially if it's Brady, you know, he has so many different body parts and organs sewed together into one right now that he'll probably just start falling apart at the seams.
No, he's got an exoskeleton. That's how he's able to do it. So who do you pick it on the Rams at Tampa?
Rams, Bucks. You know, Aaron Donald, have you noticed how cheap of a player he's becoming, like the next Ndamukong Suh? He plays so dirty. Like he last time we played them, he was choking Lucas Patrick. Mm-hmm. And they didn't call it. They didn't, you know, fine him or suspend him. And in this last game, when they're playing the Cardinals, I don't remember who the Cardinal player was, but all of a sudden he's got two hands around the guy's throat choking him, and the refs have to go break it up, and they don't do anything.
I know.
And it's like, oh my God, how does this? But, oh man, I think the Rams match up really well talent-wise with the Buccaneers. I think their offense has what it takes to score on them, and that defensive front can give Brady trouble, even though Brady's good at stopping the blitz.
I think
Donald, it's just so hard to bet against Brady in the playoffs.
He's Donald playing up the middle. That's mm-hmm. that really rattles Brady. Where if you can get a rush up the middle.
The middle rushes. He's good at shifting in the pocket, but up the middle, you're right. Yeah.
Yep. So what are you picking?
I'm going Bucks.
Okay. I'll go Rams.
All right.
I would have gone with Bucks myself if I was picking first, but I thought, what the heck?
I think talent-wise, I give a slight edge to the Rams. But I think 35, whatever it is, 35, 36 playoff games for Brady, that's just experience counts. And not only is he experienced, but he's kind of coaching this team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big edge for them. I'm going with the Bucks.
All right. And then wrapping it up at 5:30 on Sunday evening, the Bills in Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. I pick first. I'll go with the Bills.
I'm going Bills too. It's hard to pick against them right now. I mean, they just pitched a perfect game, which hasn't been done before, which, by the way, part of the reason I think it hasn't been done before in all these years is because if you score on every drive, a touchdown, you're typically not still playing your starting quarterback or starters at the end of the game. So that has a slight thing about it, but the Chiefs had like a historically bad passing defense and bad defense overall for the first half of the season. They've improved quite a bit. But is that enough? Is that going to be enough to stop Josh Allen and the Devin Singletary? And just, there's so much going on with this Bills offense. Stephon Diggs has been big. You know, he had a big lull like last third of the season, but you know, last couple of games, he is back with a vengeance. I just don't see the Chiefs having enough answers, especially if Mahomes isn't playing. If we still see this 60% Mahomes we've been seeing all season, I think it's Bills all day.
Yeah, but then it is the Chiefs. They've been to the last two Super Bowls, so
you can't count them out.
You know, it's just certain teams, certain players, they're able to make it work. So,
all right.
But I'm hoping all four games, they've got the possibility of just being great, great games.
Yeah, this isn't like wild card weekend where you had some real disparities in talent. This seems like very good matchups for good games, like you said. Mm-hmm. So let's get to the big one. 49ers just on a heater coming into the frozen tundra. Can they melt it? We will see. How do you feel about the game? Just like before the pick'em, just overall, how do you feel? Like we've had the 49ers kind of be in our bonnet for a while here.
Oh man, I go back to the 90s. So they've been a thorn in our side many times, but I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling okay with it. I think that, you know, we beat them. We squeaked one out earlier in the year to win one back in Frisco. The Packers, I think the Packers got this one. It should be a fun game, but I think we got it. I think that our run game could really be picking up here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the 49ers, their secondary is not very good. And you got a banged up quarterback. So I think we got a chance here. We could, it'd be nice if we just could have a nice, fun, easy, nobody gets hurt game.
Yeah, it would be nice. I'm probably going to be watching it with Daniel. It's been, I think 2 years ago, we watched a playoff game between our teams together and did not go I think it didn't go my way.
Well, I know Daniel was here. He watched a game a couple of years ago and the 49ers lost. And
yeah, I think that might have been regular season, but maybe okay. That was playoffs.
I thought it was playoffs because it was
okay. So we might have won it.
Distraught,
yeah. Man. Yeah. He was bummed. He's like, he had to change his shirt after this last game. He was sweating so much by the end of it. It's been a rough last couple of weeks to get into the playoffs and now stay alive. And now he has to go to Lambeau. It's going to be a fun one, but we'll probably get together and watch it. Probably can't go over to the Reagan household since you guys are all quarantining.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, I don't think anybody's done quarantine better than we have. We don't open the door. We don't do anything.
We took the battery out of the car. So I got Packers.
All right. Both of us have Packers.
And not only, so we're kind of talking about these injuries. They have so many injuries on the Niners. Garoppolo is all beat up. We got some guys coming back for the Packers where they got fresh legs all of a sudden. Mm-hmm.
Zadarius.
Bakhtiari may not be fresh. Who knows what's going on with that guy? But Jair Alexander, getting Cobb back. Mm-hmm. We're in a good spot right now. We are the team no one wants to play. I know we're the number one seed, but it kind of feels like 2010, where we had all these injuries. Like this year we overcame it. We got a lot of wins, even though we were overcoming these huge injuries. But 2010, you know, we were overcoming them all season. We dragged our way, you know, scratch and claw to get into the playoffs, had to have a couple dominoes fall our way, but then we just got healthy. And we went on. That's when we ran the table and we just, you know, I think it was Eagles in the first round. Oh God, I don't think I can remember after that. It's been too long. But man, it was fun because we had so many pieces all season that you were like, so much potential on this team. And if we could just get some stuff to click, this could be the team. And it feels like that's kind of what we're looking at. And so I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm kind of torn between high optimism with how the team has looked and who we're getting back and just kind of some lingering dread about the fact that we might come out with no energy and just get spanked like we like to do in the LaFleur era every once in a while. In these big time games. Thank God we're not going out west.
I agree with that. We'll see what I even if we come out with low energy, I think we gotta we'll get it figured out here before the end of the game. I just don't want to see another NFC championship game in our home field that we lose. And that just be, I mean, that it's almost room to fire the guy. You can't get past the NFC championship game. Yeah. That's not who we are.
Packers are 6-point favorites, according to Vegas.
It was lower than that, but when the news came out about Garoppolo, they bumped it up at 0.5. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Hey, can you do me a favor?
What's that?
Tell me about voicegynextdoor.com.
Voicegynextdoor.com.
You can hear the voice again.
What was the pet store that was so popular in the night? And was it the 90s or early 2000s with the Super Bowl commercials? They spent all their money on great advertising, but then they ended up going bankrupt because they couldn't stay in business. The sock puppet, you know that? Do you remember that? The sock puppet?
I vaguely remember what you're talking about. But I know why the tone of what we said reminded you of it, but I can't remember the guy
thing. Who has the photographic memory. But anyway, voiceguynextdoor.com. Just check out the website. Just go there. You can. I'm also on Facebook if you want to connect with me through there. It's just, you know, I keep saying the same thing, but it's true. When you talk to clients, if it's a new thing for you, it can be really challenging to know how to navigate the landscape with voiceovers. And a lot of people, they just end up going the easy route. They'll go someplace where they can just like throw it up on a website and then they get 100, 200 different demos from people, auditions. I prefer to do one-on-one, and make sure you get what you're looking for. And again, it's voiceguynextdoor.com. I do all kinds of stuff. You can do phone messaging and videos, commercials, anything you need to put a voice to, voiceguynextdoor.com. And somebody else that likes to have that one-on-one contact, especially if it's a company that is a nonprofit, that would be Mr. Sean Reagan.
Well, thank you, Mike Reagan. I'll actually kind of focus on that then, the nonprofit side of things. So I do graphic design and marketing for a couple bigger nonprofits in central Minnesota. That's my full-time gig. On the side, I do freelance graphic design, marketing, things like that. I very much specialize in the business side of marketing, the professional look, you know, marketing your event, designs for your website, social media, advertising campaigns, anything like that. It makes a huge deal nowadays, especially with COVID. So much more is online even than it was before. And so you have to find a way to stick out from the crowd. There's all these nonprofits out there, and a lot of nonprofits who were doing, you know, solid work before COVID, but they didn't have any online presence because they didn't need it. You know, they were locally known, all that. They got their connections. They have to go online, and you can just tell the difference. You know, these organizations, these nonprofits, these charities, who they do such great work. They do a lot of good, but they don't have the time or resources to put something in to their website, their social media design, their marketing material. That's what you should think of when you think of Greenlight graphic design. Whether it's you have your own nonprofit organization, charity, or someone you know who you think, you know what, they could take that next step. They could really pop with some professional design, maybe a new logo, some just a color scheme that really, a theme that goes across their whole marketing material, just really reinvigorate everything they're doing. GreenlightGraphicDesign.com.
Getting so passionate. You always get so passionate when you talk about nonprofit companies.
Yeah, well, I'd say only 2 out of 10 clients are nonprofits, and I don't get it. I don't get it. I offered 20% off every time, every order, not your first time as a nonprofit, every time. So I should have all nonprofits, because that's kind of what I want my freelance to be. That's why I started. I wanted to help nonprofits.
That's cool. All right. Well, I think we've just wrapped up a nice playoff bye podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else to say. Do you?
I mean, no missed field goals, no punts. We didn't muff any punts.
Don't speak of that, which we don't speak
of. Oh, we don't even talk about it, even if we're celebrating it didn't happen. All right, we won't talk about it. Do you have a game ball?
Yeah, I got a game ball.
All right.
I'm giving it to me.
No. Let's do a game ball. Count me down.
There is no game ball.
Count me down.
No,
count me down.
Let's wrap it up.
Count me down. Just one game ball.
No.
Count. All right. I'm giving it to you, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn, give us your address.
Congrats,
and your passcode to get into your house.
I'm sorry you didn't get the bells and whistles, but all right. I think this has been a good one.
Yeah, it was.
Should we get out of here?
Better. Because I didn't watch much of the playoffs, but you got most.
When we talked about doing this, you were like, I didn't really watch much of it and stuff like that. And I was like, I watched a good chunk of it. And I'm like, but I don't think we needed to. It's not like we're an expert any other time either. So I think this was good.
Till next week, you do the go, because you like to do the go.
All right, go.
Pack.
Go. Until next week. All right. Get out of here, everyone. Join the Facebook group.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!